You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, listen, we got a lot going on today. There's plenty of moving parts, but one of the things that I've been most looking forward to is the opportunity to get with a friend of mine, Eric Johnston, who is an attorney here in Alabama, who is also the founder of the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition. But not just that, Eric Johnston is also the guy who wrote the bill that we've been talking about, the Alabama Human Life Protection Act, which was known as House Bill 314 back in the year 2019. Eric's been traveling today, but my understanding is he is on the line right now, so I am so glad to hear it. Eric Johnston, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very well, Phil.
Well, I really appreciate you making yourself available. I know today's been a heck of a day with bumped flights and coming in from the left coast and just, you know, all the travels, but jet lag and all, here you are.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It only took us 26 hours to get from Birmingham to Portland, Oregon, so.
Oh, God. That's travel purgatory right there.
Yeah, it's not the same as it used to be, for sure.
No, certainly not. Well, listen, Eric, let me just jump right into the topic. So the Policy Institute, the Alabama Policy Institute, we actually gave you an award, a Policy Warrior Award, for being the author of the Alabama Human Life Protection Act. Passed in 2019 through both House and the Senate, signed into law by Governor Ivey, enjoined by Judge Myron Thompson, and that's where it sits right now. My recollection was it is still sitting in an enjoined status, but it has not been repealed, reversed, or otherwise deemed unconstitutional. Am I correct?
That's correct. It is still sitting on his desk. He granted a preliminary injunction, which, as you know, is not a finding on the merits. So the legality of that law has never been ruled on. So it's still in good shape right now.
Okay. Well, that being said,
it's just not enforceable. That's the thing.
It's not enforceable right now, certainly. If we were to see this leaked opinion, draft opinion that came out just this week from the Supreme Court of the United States, if that is happening, if Roe is actually overturned, if we see a June opinion come out that says Roe no longer exists, does our law, the Human Life Protection Act, then become law? Because my recollection was Judge Thompson, he enjoined it on the basis of Roe. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, he did. As I said, it's a preliminary injunction, which is there's several factors to grant that, and none of those factors are a ruling on the merits. The most serious of those factors is that he believes the plaintiffs would be likely to prevail on the merits, which would then be based on Roe. So he just issued this preliminary injunction, but no finding on the merits. And if this leaked opinion is anything like what it turns out to be, then our law would become law at that point. And we can go into a little detail on that. But I always want to be careful as a lawyer and not get into the political side of it too much, is we can't speculate about what courts will do until we have the order in hand. We don't know. And so this opinion that was written by Alito, this draft opinion, was in February. It could look a lot different, as the Chief Justice said in his news release. I'm hoping that it's not. And so in looking at it and knowing what my expectation is, I would think that the Chief Justice may not join the opinion. You'll have the five conservative justices on it. And I would have expected Justice Alito to write the opinion. Justice Thomas would assign the opinion to whoever he would choose to write it if he's in the majority and the chief's not. So saying that, I think Thomas asked Alito to write it. So all of that looks legitimate to me. And the way he wrote it looks legitimate. But again, got to be careful and say we are speculating right now about what that law will be. And there's still, you know, almost 2 months before it's probably going to be released.
Well, so let me ask you, the Human Life Protection Act here in Alabama, one of the most, you know, strictest abortion laws in the state or in the nation, literally put Alabama in the position of having pretty much what they call a trigger law, waiting on Roe. And should Roe be reversed? Should that be the thing that happens? And we see the Human Life Protection Act. It's interesting to me that just in the last 24 hours, Representative Terry Collins, who's a friend to both you and I, who carried that bill all the way to fruition. She got it through both the House and the Senate and across the street to the governor's desk, and it was signed into law. And I remember her distinctly saying, if anyone tries to weaken this, if they try to carve out exceptions, I'm going to kill the bill myself because we're going to pass a pure bill. And now she is literally saying, even this morning on Dale Jackson's show, she is literally saying, well, what we may need to do is go back and review this and perhaps create one that is more like the heartbeat bill we had a couple of years ago that allows for exceptions for rape and incest and fetal abnormalities, which I think is a very broad definition, fetal abnormalities. I worry about that. And I assume that would even mean a heartbeat bill, meaning that you're 15 weeks or more in before you can see an abortion. Your thoughts on Terry's comments?
Well, you know, I find them a little bit unusual because she was the sponsor of the bill in the House and a good advocate for it. The House was not a problem with rape and incest exceptions, for example, and I think Terry has said rape and incest might need to be exceptions. It was only in the Alabama Senate where we had the serious question arise about could we pass it without those exceptions, and they finally agreed to pass it without them, but the House was not an issue. It was not then an issue with Terry, so I'm concerned that, you know, there's a political, as I said earlier, a legal side and a political side. The political side is heating up so much, and it's unfortunate that this opinion was released without really knowing what the final product's going to be. And I mean, we're suffering from a lot of misinformation, a lot of discussion that really, in a way, is unnecessary and premature. Even the Wall Street Journal, the business newspaper, dedicates whole sections to it just about every day, because of, you know, how much content is out there in the media and in the political world. Maybe Terry's feeling some pressure from that side, and I hope that in the end, all that will have to happen is if the opinion is more or less the way Alito has drafted it, and it could be nuances, don't be clear, it could have some nuances in it, but if it comes out that Roe is reversed and the states have the right to do it, and that's clearly what he said in that opinion, then our law, all the attorney general will have to do is to file a motion to dismiss with Judge Thompson. Thompson will probably sit on that for a few weeks, but he will be required to then dismiss the lawsuit. Our law will immediately go into effect. There's no reason to go back and reconsider the law. There's nothing to amend in it. There's nothing for the legislature to do. I think at that point, what the legislature needs to do is then reach out to the women who have problem pregnancies and help them and not worry about weakening the law that we have. Let's protect the unborn, but then let's take care of women. That's where we ought to direct our efforts.
Well, and I agree with that. And I remember having those discussions with you back in the day. But let me ask you this. Terry, and I'm going to get her on the show, and we're going to talk about it in more detail, but Terry says in her interview with Dale Jackson that the intent of the bill, and this is true, the intent of the bill was to pick a fight, in a sense. The intent of the bill was to challenge Roe and to see if we could get our bill before the Supreme Court, which, you know, the Mississippi bill is the one that they chose. But that being said, she says that was what it was simply for, and that perhaps now it is time, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's time to go back and relook at it and decide if we need to do it differently. She said that would be up to the legislature to decide. I do not recall any conversations back in 2019 when that bill was before the body that said, all we're going to do is pass this, but if Roe's ever overturned, then we're going to come back and relook at it. Do you recall any conversations like that back in the day?
No, I do not. And you know, our argument the entire time was that it does not matter how a child is conceived, whether it's conceived out of wedlock, in wedlock, through rape, through incest, through artificial insemination, if it's a child in utero, then that's a person that is protected by law. There's no reason to make a distinction for rape or incest. And in fact, the percentages of conception from rape or incest are so low, they're almost non-existent. They're not something you really need to worry about. Those ideas came up by moderate Republicans back in probably the 80s, where they were trying to make some progress on the abortion issue, and they wanted to offer exceptions to get people on board. Those were compromises that were political in nature, but it's not what the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition stands for. and we didn't stand for it in the process of the passage of the law. And it's true, we wanted it to be a test case. We wanted to lay the predicate for getting a good case before the courts. And it was a good, I mean, it's, as you said, it's the strongest law in the nation. It's the most pristine, pure one that you can possibly have. And why we would want to go back now and weaken that when we're on the verge of getting rid of 50 years of murdering children, I mean, that, you know, Terry and the community, the pro-life community, need to have a very serious discussion. And I respect Terry very much, but this is a very serious issue.
I completely agree. And Eric, I guess last question for you, and you know, it's hard to predict politics, and I swear right now I feel like I can predict it even less in the current environment in the State House. But that being said, you spent a lot of years down there in and out of the State House advocating on behalf of life, and doing great work. And I remember meeting you when I first got elected, and carrying several pro-life bills myself, and you were a great aide in that fight. That being said, I have a hard time believing that a conservative Republican majority could come in and say, we've got a strong bill on pro-life, why don't we get together and weaken it and see how that goes? Do you see that even being a fight that they could substantially carry in the State House right now?
I don't really. I mean, we've got some midterm elections coming and some new people coming, some new leadership maybe. But I don't think that our leadership is going to want to come back and revisit this issue. The sanctity of life issue is a very important issue to the conservative community and to the Republican community. And I appreciate your years there and your leadership. And I think that carries over. And I believe that the men and women in the State House will say, why do we want to go back? Just like you said, why do we want to go back and weaken a law that we fought so hard to pass to protect unborn children? Because, you know, is there some political pressure? Well, you know, there's not going to be any political pressure at that point. If the pro-choice community, the pro-abortion community, whatever you want to call them, they want to advocate for that, they can do it in other states. I mean, I think the pro-life community in Alabama will be very strongly against weakening something that they fought so hard to achieve.
Well, and Eric, you spent a lot of years in this fight, and I want to thank you again for your time today, but I especially want to thank you for the countless hours that you have spent not only advocating, but also organizing others to help advocate, and for writing the bill that currently exists and is just merely waiting now for the opinion that we hope is going to say that Roe's overturned. Eric Johnston, thank you so much for joining us today, especially after all your travels.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and we'll have a discussion after the opinion comes out and the reality of it. Then we can not speculate about it.
Absolutely. All right, Eric, you take care, man. Have a great weekend. Copper, just go ahead and move us to a break. That was a great interview. And folks, you just heard news. So right now, while you're hearing that legislators are considering maybe weakening the bill, maybe changing it, make it more, I don't know, politically palatable, the guy who wrote it and who was there in the trenches helping pass it, he says, no, that was never the intent. And he agrees with me. Very unlikely that you could ever see a group of Republicans get together and successfully argue that they should go ahead now and weaken the strongest pro-life bill in the nation. I'm just saying. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.